brother.
Oh,
what's up?
This is a good recording, man.
Yeah, brother,
I can dig it.
Stop. Right on.
There's too many of you crying. Brother, 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 there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Yeah.
Time now for the Empowerment Hour, the hottest show on Saturday mornings in Jacksonville on Praise 107.9. And now, here's your host on the Empowerment Hour, Dr. Richard Danforth, president of the Jacksonville Urban League, Jarman Leitner, president of First Thursday, and the producer and host, W. Larry Williams, CEO of Anchor Multicultural Communications Company.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Empowerment Hour. This is Larry Williams, along with Dr. Richard Danforth, president of Jacksonville Urban League, and Jarman Leitner, president of Harbors Mental Health Services. First of all, I want to pay homage to Jackie Robinson. Thursday last week was Jackie Robinson Day across American and Major League Baseball, and the great number 42, the man who integrated Major League Baseball back in 1945, Jackie Robinson, will forever be in our minds and hearts and prayers because of the things that day and that accomplishment has meant for so many African Americans and so many different sports, Dr. Danforth, across the United States.
Yeah, I remember not when he hit, not when he entered baseball, but certainly I recall, just a great American, you know.
Absolutely.
That's all you can say. It's just a great American. And then after baseball, you know, the work that he was involved
in. Yes. And it's really important today, Jarman, that even then the things the systemic racism and things that were going on back then are still relevant today. Minorities make up a small percentage, but blacks in baseball, you know, the American apple pie sport. There's only 7% black participating in the sport, and blacks dominate other sports, football, basketball. You know, there's a big push around the country now to get more young blacks involved in baseball. And I hope that there's something going on in Jacksonville to make that happen as well. Baseball is a great sport, but the important thing is the fact that sport recognizes that it needs to make and be more inclusive, and they're starting a national campaign towards that. Jarman, what's going on over in your world?
Well, happy Saturday, Empowerment Hour team, and happy Saturday to our listeners. Just wonderful opportunity to be here this morning. Just to add to what you said, Larry, about the baseball and having more diversity and inclusion. Hopefully that will trickle over into sports like golf as well, because as we mentioned last week that, you know, we are underrepresented. Blacks are underrepresented in the sport of golf and the exposure to golf. And we're just thankful for programs like, you know, First Tee that are now over in the Arlington area for blacks to participate in. So we just look forward to more diversity and inclusion. We're hopeful that that helps to mend our communities, but also provide more opportunities for equity.
Well, John, it's strange to say that because the last week, the Masters was won by a young golfer from Japan. So that was very interesting. And again, you know, the Masters, you guys, I don't know whether you've been paying attention to the tech world, but there's a lot of conversation going on, you know, within Amazon and Google and other companies about, you know, the technology and the coding and the terms that are being used to identify certain functions of technology. And you know, I wasn't paying a lot of attention to it because I'm not a coder. But some of my friends are, and they were saying, you know, Larry, we need to remove, and it's a big push right now, and it's been done with certain corporations. But the words that are ingrained into the coding are words like slaves. You know, this is a slave to, and then you have our master system. You know, and so you know, here's the slaves reporting to the master. Never thought about it in those terms until it was broken down to us in that manner. But, you know, it's a lot of things that are going on around equality, inclusion, and the words we say and the meanings that they have, you know, folks don't get it. And they wonder why, you know, these shootings continue in Minneapolis. You know, the lady police officer, said that she thought she pulled her taser and it was a gun and the Glock and she fired and killed this young man. What's going on? I mean, you don't know, you were a policeman. Could you tell the difference between a taser and a gun?
Yeah, that's only my question.
Well, hold up, Larry. I was not a policeman. I was a military policeman in Vietnam. Now that's different because we were authorized and we did kill, but
okay, so you didn't have a taser at all. You just had a,
We didn't have a taser. We had the real deal, but I want to go back, Larry. You mentioned, baseball and golf. And I was thinking about the Masters over the weekend because I had an opportunity many, many years ago to, visit with Lee Elder, who, is an African-American golfer. And over the weekend, they recognized Lee Elder at the Masters, certainly being the first African-American to play at Augusta National because, you know, it is a private course and you have to have an invitation in order to play. So that's very good because Lee Elder is not a stranger to Jacksonville. He even worked with us. The Urban League here with our golf tournaments in the past.
That's awesome.
So that's great. But I want to pivot from baseball and from golf to the military. If I can just take 2 minutes.
Not too quickly. We got about a minute left.
Okay. Well, let me. I want my listeners to know that my son, Richard III, finished Marine Corps training and. He's at home and I'm getting ready to take a road trip to California to his next duty station. So he's going to Miramar, California to join the Marine Corps band out in San Diego. So I'm going to take this trip and hopefully deal with some of the stress that I'm experiencing here in Jacksonville. So maybe I can run away from it for just a little while until I return. So thank you for listening to me and thank you and for your prayers and continue to do that as I continue to remain contact with my siblings and my son. I tell you, as a African-American male, it's very, very important, you know, to stay in touch with your children and help them get in positions where they can make sound decisions.
All right. Well, you know, Doc, it's good to really, you know, but we talk about a lot of negative things that happen in our communities all the time. And you know, from time to time, you know, it's good to hear some good stories. You know, the fact that you know, we're talking about, you know, the life you're talking about, your son and you know, that's in real terms and that's real life. That's the, you know, that's our legacy. Our kids are our legacy. And no matter what people say or do, that's not going to change. And so what we need to invest in those kids and make this next generation better than our generation. Jonathan, quickly.
No, I was just going to say, and then, like you said, Dr. Danforth, being involved in your children's life, particularly your son being an African-American male, in light of everything that's going on, just prayers for covering for our Black men out here. And
yes,
hopes that, you know, they don't have to be the next victim of an injustice.
Yes. And you know, again, there was another young Black man murdered. Again, I was mentioning the female police officer. I mean, you know, it's every 6 months, it seems like, you know, we go back and we go to pause. And then every 6 months, guys, we come right back to this deal where another young Black man is murdered by the police.
Maybe less than
6 months, Larry. Yeah. But the trial is going on for a George Floyd murder 10 miles down the road when this occurs. Right. We're going to be back in with some more conversation. Yes. Surrounding this. This is Praise 107.9 FM, the Empowerment Hour.
The ultimate gospel experience. The new Praise 107.9.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's Snoop Dogg. Clark Sisters.
Larry Williams, along with Dr. Richard Danforth and Jarman Leitner. And, you know, good man, it's so great to be alive and well, you know.
Amen.
This is trying times in America. But, you know, this too shall pass, guys. And we were talking before we in the last segment, Jarman and Doc, about the Chauvin trial and the effects that it's having on our community. See, here we have to sit here all week, last week, looking at this man with his knee on this black man's neck and just literally murdering him right there in front of the world. And then a week later, you know, as this trial is going on for for Chauvin, the cop that killed that murdered George Floyd, another murder. A cop pulls a gun on a young 20-year-old black man who had been stopped for a traffic deal, and she's getting ready. She claims to taser this guy, and instead of pulling the taser, she pulled the gun and shot it. You know, that's absolute murder right there. But John, you want to comment more on the mental things that are going on. And I say that because Dr. Danforth and us, we were talking about the mental parts of these things that are affecting us, not only the COVID deal, but you know, all of these other things, and then having to go back through this trial and go through that, and then another black man is murdered. You know, you guys have young black sons. I have black grandsons. And, you know, it's almost, I pray every time they go out the door.
Yes. Yes. And just seeing, you know, what's put in the media again, you know, now that we have all this technology, we can see what's happening for real. It isn't a movie, and it is traumatic for a lot of people to just know that these things are happening. You know, trauma doesn't just happen in the home. It could be brought on and maintained by things that are going on in society, the things that are perpetuating in our community. And so it can cause fear in people. It can cause anxiety just knowing, okay, like you said, Larry, you pray for your grandsons as they go out, because you hope that they're covered so nothing happens. And we're trying not to worry about our children when we send them out, you know, when they're driving alone, these teenagers and even these tweens that are out. So we're concerned, because we even saw the young man in Chicago who was 13 who was murdered, you know. So it's not just older children, even some of the young children are being killed. And I just wanted to add to this point, it just always baffles me why, when, you know, African Americans are murdered by a cop, that their past history is always brought up. You know, they were on drugs, or they stole something back when they were 19 or 20 years old and went to jail for that. How is that relevant to the wrongful act that the police officer did?
Well, it's always this deal, John, where, you know, if you're wrong, you distract, you mislead, and you change the narrative. And this, you know, the cops have played this successfully for years. But, you know, I just feel that in my heart and in mind, that times are going to change. You know, we spent 5 years in this conservative tank. That's the way I'm just telling you guys, this is the way I felt during this past administration, is that it was so divisive. You know, that it started pitting black against white and brown against black and brown against white. And so it starts to manifest itself in everything that we do. And so there's never room for compromise until, you know, we start seeing a light and we start seeing, getting back to doing things the way that democratic societies are supposed to operate. You know, but let's meet in the middle. There's a centerpiece there for all of us. And you know, we're talking about these stress factors and things. And Dr. Danville was talking earlier about taking a trip and getting away from it. All of us need to take some downtime and get away from what we do every day. This pandemic has had everybody pent up in our homes for so long. You know, you look outside and you know, you're yearning to get back out and travel and do something. So, you know, get your vaccines, get vaccinated, social distance,
wear your mask.
But get out and start and wash your hands. But get out and start, you know, enjoying your your friends and family safely.
And,
you know,
have faith in God and His plan and
but,
His
but
purpose.
Do the right things. If you do the right things, you can still, you know, carry on somewhat of a normal life. But my main point is that that takes some time away from the stress.
And get your vaccine, and that will, well, that's giving us some stress now.
I'm glad you brought that up.
I waited all that time for the Johnson & Johnson, and I finally got it. Everybody said, you got to take it. So I got the shot. Now they're telling me that. Now they're telling me it's not effective, and I may have to, let me tell the world, I am not another vaccine for no COVID. If this one doesn't work, I'm sorry. Help me, Jesus. I'm on my way.
Well, Dr. Danforth and John, you know, we all have our personal feelings about vaccines, and trust me, I was anti-vaccine when this whole thing started. But you know, for the sake of my family and friends and what others, if all I had to do was take this vaccine and perhaps save some life, then, you know, I'm willing to do that. But just on a personal deal, you know, I wasn't for it. And I think it's a personal decision. People have to do and the things that they want to do and that they feel comfortable doing. Huge segments of the population on both sides, white and black, are reluctant to take this vaccine. And the outcomes now, from what Doc is talking about, the blood clots, and, you know, six people that took the J&J vaccine. It's unfortunate, but at the same time, you know, we have to look at this from a holistic point of view. There are countries in across the world that are pining for vaccines that are safe as the ones that we are taking here in America. So let's continue to do the things that we can to protect ourselves against this vaccine. Try to stamp it out as much as we can. It sounds like that, you know, we're being hooked in for another 3 years of these vaccine variants and so forth. But we have to do what we have to do to protect ourselves and our families. And John, from the mental side of it, it must continue that we have to take and have us, you know, give ourselves some space that we can go out and relax and just be normal for a minute.
And wear your mask.
And again, from the mental wellness side, you know, you don't have to wait until, you know, something is it has gotten just so severe. You know, go talk. Yeah, we don't have to wait until we're in crisis mode. Sometimes we just wait until a crisis is it. That's the only time that we need to go get mental health services. No, just the fact that this pandemic is here, the fact that everything is going on in this community with systemic racism and the police killings, that could cause stress on you. So reach out to a mental health professional, seek some guidance on how to handle the stress and healthy ways to cope with the things that you have to deal with in your personal life.
Absolutely. And you know, things are going to change, you guys. We were talking out there. And I'm positive, and enthusiastic about the future. You know, we talked a lot about things so always being so negative. You know, I think we can see some light at the end of the tunnel, and it's not the train for change. And you know, I'm really, really pumped up about what the Biden administration is doing and proposing in these next components for, you know, rebuilding the nation, and especially the promises made to small businesses in their $400 billion plan to increase the federal government contracting goals for small disadvantaged businesses by a whopping 200%. So we'll talk more about that and more some of the next segments, and particularly we'll be talking about education. There's so much going on around in education, and we're going to talk to Daryl Willey from the DCPS School Board and try and reconfirm some things that we discussed last week. This is Praise 107.9 FM, the Empowerment Hour.
The new Praise 107.9, the ultimate gospel experience.
He'll make it all right. Whatever you want.
Whatever you want.
God is able.
God is able.
Whatever you need.
Whatever you need.
He'll supply.
He'll supply.
Whatever is broken.
Whatever is broken.
He can fix it.
He can fix it.
No need to worry.
No need to worry.
He's alive.
He's alive.
Whole church, he'll make it all right. Whatever you pray,
whatever you pray,
he knows.
He knows.
Whatever the answer,
whatever the answer,
he's got me.
He's got me.
We know he's sovereign.
We know he's sovereign.
He's in control.
He's in control.
Whole church, he'll make it all right.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome back to the Empowerment Hour. This is Larry Williams, along with Dr. Richard Danforth, Jarman Gleichner. Man, we've had just a quick two segments here, and we're going to get ready to have another one informative about what's going on in education here in Jacksonville and around the country and around the state. Good morning, Daryl, Willie. Welcome back to the Empowerment Hour. We appreciate you always hopping on during the education corner here and talking about you know, a lot of things with Duval County Public Schools, but in particular we want to, you know, talk about some of the name changing and there was a dual city council and school board meeting recently around the removing the Confederate names from I think it's what six schools in the district. I guess the meeting. Were you at the meeting?
I was. Yeah, that meeting happened on Friday, so just yesterday. And, yeah, really productive meeting. It wasn't – the theme of that meeting was not necessarily the school name changes. That was about our joint use agreements, about the half penny, giving updates about that and our strategic plan. But, of course, it came up. The school names did come up. We didn't spend tons of time there because there was a good process in place from our end. And as you know, folks are starting to really come out and share their opinions on it from the business side and some of the other side. So happy to chat through it. And always a pleasure to be on.
Yeah, well, you know, tell us about some of the things we were talking about off air. And we were saving that for this particular segment about the Jacksonville Chamber of Commerce coming out in support of the name changes. And I see that they weren't totally in on all the name changes. Is that correct?
Yeah, so they're in for the first six. So there's nine total, and six were sort of brought up first. And those are the ones in that theme of the Confederacy. And then three got added on in an additional letter. So the chamber is supportive of changing those six. And Robert E. Lee would be one of those. And then there's a number of middle schools. So
they're not in favor of changing the other three?
So they did not come out in an opinion as a board on the other three, which is Jackson and Rebalt Middle and Rebalt High.
But why are they supporting it, Darryl, do you think now?
I would say
economic issue as well.
Oh, for sure. Like I think that if this story has now gotten national media attention, and we just want to be, I think the business community wants to be on the right side of it. You want every reason why someone would want to come and do business in Jacksonville. And if there's something to deter that, you want to try to not have that happen. So one of the key stats that they said was there are 12, I think, schools named after folks in the Confederacy in the state. We have six of them. I mean, we have half of the ones in the state. So, I mean,
all of the state.
Yep. We have half. So that's something to think about.
Why does Jacksonville have so many I mean, did we fight the Civil War here in Jacksonville or what?
you would think we did. I think there's just a faction back then that wanted to sort of pay homage to the Confederacy.
I don't remember Gone with the Wind that they mentioned anything about Jacksonville.
Yeah, and that's the interesting part of it, for sure.
Well, you know, the history tells us that not far down the road was when down in Savannah where, you know, the Confederate stronghold. And so, you know, it's not that far-fetched to believe that there would be a huge faction of Confederates that would have settled in Jacksonville at post-war. So our thing is to be more concerned about getting those names off of those schools, in my personal opinion.
They fought over at the Lustig, which is a few miles from Jacksonville. I think that's probably the only skirmish that the Confederacy and the North had in order. Well, at least in this area. So that's why I don't understand why Jacksonville would be the city to have so many.
And then when they were named, they weren't named right after the war. I mean, they were named in the 50s and 60s. So, I mean, there's a reason why folks would say that these schools were named that way. It was right after Brown v. Board, which there was.
Thank you, Judge Darryl. Put that historical perspective on these things that didn't just, you know, happen. Everything was strategic, just like this is strategic and stripping those names from those schools. And from my perspective, Darryl, and the board, you know, you can strip those names. You don't have to put a name back on the West Side High or South Side High. It's fine with me. Just don't have a Lee on there. So that's my two cents worth. What about the economics? You know, we talked about the chamber and their decisions. Naturally, it's an economic thing. We're talking about this. The movements across the country, as you pointed out, Darryl, play a significant factor in decision making now in Jacksonville as it deals with race and equity issues. So, you know, are you seeing any movement inside the district of change in that direction?
Yeah, I think it's all connected. At the end of the day, our job as a district is to prepare our young folks, our young leaders and community members to go off and get great jobs and be productive members of our community. And the way that we do that is we set them up, not just with being a graduate, but also we can do our part to make sure the environment that they're going into is one that is safe, one that is whole, one that businesses want to come to. So we're seeing ourselves making a lot of change. You saw a lot of questions and a lot of comments around diversity training and all these other pieces. We're not perfect. No one's perfect, but we definitely are raising those questions, trying to do the training that we need to do. And we're open to listen. We're open to work. We're open to iterate and change. And I think it's an exciting time because now we're actually talking about things that are hard to talk about, but it's almost like we're in a position where we're getting to talk about it in a way we have never done before.
What about Douglas Anderson? How are things over there?
Yeah, we're still working through the Douglas Anderson situation. I think the students have voiced their opinions on how they're feeling about it. And I really think what we have is we have students who are positive agitators, with bringing up the question and pushing the envelope. And we have to get our adults in that same mind frame to be able to kind of be pushed and have their minds sort of changed from the way that they've always thought. So we're already looking at some training for our teachers and whatnot, not just at DA, but across the board to be better for our students every day.
I'm happy to hear you say that, because sometimes we get focused on, you know, one school and but it's sometimes that one school is the impetus for, you know, major changes throughout the district. And I think this might be one of those cases. And you know, it's unfortunate that some of the folks that, you know, whose reputations might have been smeared or whatever in that situation. But think of the good that it's doing now, you know, for folks in the future. I'm just so happy to see, you know, some positive things coming out of all the negativism that's gone on through the district. Daryl, you guys navigated well through this pandemic and getting the teachers, you know, making the teachers safe and getting the kids back in the schools. And at first, I was 100% against the in-person schooling because of the fear of COVID. And as my fear started to diminish, so did my understanding of why these kids needed to be in school. So you guys, you know, congratulations.
Larry?
That's going to be my next question to Daryl. Real quick about the testing. Yes, we see that there is an emergency order for the state exams, that they can be optional for the seniors and the third graders can still move up. Can you just touch on that a little bit?
Yeah, so we actually got, and that's a bit of a win. So we wanted to make sure students weren't held and put in harm's way because of this pandemic. So we are going to have some allowances for those third graders and those seniors. But what we've been telling seniors all along is, hey, take these tests, do it. Because just because we have a waiver, if you are trying to apply maybe outside of the state or trying to go to a school in a different spot, they may not understand that or take that waiver. So we're still encouraging our students to take advantage and take those tests and make sure they're set up for success. But it does help that group of students who may not have been able to perform at their highest level because of COVID in these situations. So it's a win. Unfortunately, it's a win in this certain environment, but definitely it helps. It helps those students who really need that.
Yeah, and I think that is that I don't know, you know, I'm sort of here and there that you feel is a win, but it's not a win-win.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a feel win because
exactly.
Yeah, we don't want to have to win in this case, but because of COVID you never want to knock someone's confidence all the way down where they can't start to get back up. So this helps us to be able to prep them. We do have a lot of summer programming that's going to be going on to help with that as well. So we want to make sure folks are set up because confidence is a huge part of learning and matriculating. And if we don't understand that, then we're sort of missing a part.
100%. Okay, guys. Daryl, thanks a lot for hopping on and being a part of the show. And hopefully we can get some more detailed information next week. This is Praise 107.9 FM, the Empowerment Hour. We'll be back with the Entrepreneur Corner.
Through your story. my fingerprint, yeah, in the valley. You'll find confidence in the shadow. I will be your strength. One thing's for sure, I am your Lord.
Welcome back to the Empowerment Hour. This is Larry Williams along with Dr. Richard Danforth, Jarman Leitner, and our special guest here in the Entrepreneur Corner is Bingham Parkinson, the director from the Jacksonville Urban League's Entrepreneur Program over there. And hey, happy Saturday, Bing. And man, it's another great day to be alive and well. What's happening over there with your program? And are we signing up some new folks? We've created some new entrepreneurs.
Happy Friday, Larry. Thanks for having me on. And absolutely, absolutely. Our Small Business Academy is doing tremendously well. We keep signing up more and more participants. As I told you, a week or two ago, we've expanded the academy. So now we have two academies, one for startup companies and one for companies that are looking for training and education on how to grow their business.
That's much needed information sharing and congratulations on that. The more programs we have to help our Black businesses become successful and sustainable, the better it is being. And so what when are these classes and where are they online still? I mean, virtual, how are they being conducted?
Yes, they're both via Zoom. The Growth Academy is on Wednesdays from 6 to 7. And the Startup Academy is on Thursdays from 6 to 7.
Okay. So I missed the first sessions, can I still come and participate, or do I need to wait until the next round?
No, you can join at any point as long as you attend 4 successive classes. You will have covered the entire program. So we purposefully developed the program wherein any of our clients can join at any night. And as long as they attend for 4 consecutive weeks, they will have received all of the information for the academy.
Okay. Is there a gift for completing the class? Do I get a certificate? Do I go into the annals of Jacksonville Urban League hierarchy or what?
Well, yeah, there are benefits for joining and completing the academies. What we've done for the startups, we give each graduate of the Startup Academy a grant of $250, and that is an amount that we hope they will utilize to actually start the startup of their business. One, to utilize some of those funds to do their registration with the State of Florida Division of Corporation.
Yes.
And two, to maybe get their URL, their .com name, and so on and so forth. So we give them an incentive to complete the academy.
That's great concept there, because oftentimes when we work with these small business owners, the least little things that we don't even consider, like the business license and fees getting that URL and other things, business cards and just completing your business plan. These things, there's some investment involved in that from a financial standpoint. And oftentimes we're not considering those, and especially those of us that are starting out just as entrepreneurs. This is our first time around the circus. So, but anyways, I'm glad to hear that you guys are having those classes. Any more information about the PPP program? Is it coming to an end? Is it extended? Can we still get some money?
Absolutely. The PPP, as you know, was extended. The deadline for application was extended to May 31st. So we're still assisting our clients to complete their application. So we've got a month and a half left to go, and we're hoping anyone that needs assistance will contact us so we can help them get that money.
Hey, okay. I'm sorry. I was going to.
So how can they contact contact you or the Urban League about that, trying to get on this PPP program and attend these classes?
All they need to do is call 904-723-4010. That's 904-723-4010, and we'll get them registered and scheduled.
Okay, Doc, you were...
Yes, just a quick question, we've talked here at the Urban League amongst ourselves in terms of the challenges, providing, being able to provide these services to individuals, but they have challenges in terms of what they really want to do and just how, are they really serious about going into business or expanding their business. But are you finding just some particular challenges that both the organization may have as well as the clients?
Well, as far as challenges, I think the organization Because we've been doing this for so many years, we've addressed the challenges that we've had in the past. As it relates to the challenges that the clients have, for the most part, is scheduling, because many of these individuals who are looking to start a business, they currently have a job.
Yes.
Doing something.
Yes. So
when we're trying to get them scheduled to meet with one of our coaches or, you know, one of our trainers, then sometimes it's difficult to put the two together, because an individual with a job may not be available to get on Zoom or to get on the call for until after 7 o'clock, as an example. So we have worked with our coaches to make them more available in the evening hours or the off hours when many of our clients are available.
And you know, it's a catch 22 on those deals too, because you know everyone is busy, you know, with their schedule, and especially if you're an aspiring entrepreneur. You know, you chances are, and you know, when I started my business, I was working during the day and trying to run a business at night or working two jobs to be able to fund the business. So you know, we have to find and manage our time so that, you know, we can make those two things work. And I think we're getting more opportunities of doing that. But Jarman was participating in the program. What did you find about that part of the program, Jarman?
Well, the part about the scheduling was, well, yes. For me, it wasn't a challenge because I was already an entrepreneur. So I came in expanding my business and not as a startup. So I wasn't working a full-time job. And so I had flexible hours to be able to meet with my coach. But so I didn't experience that challenge. But the program overall, I would like to say, has been very beneficial and helpful to me as a small business owner in moving my business forward and growing and just learning all of those things that, like you said, you come in just not knowing. There's just something, you come in with a passion, as I did, passionate about mental health services and wanting to help the community. And the program assisted in that, but there were a lot of things that I didn't know as far as administrative wise. So I encourage every small business owner out there, entrepreneur, to contact the Jacksonville Urban League and the Entrepreneurship Center, and so they can get connected to get this assistance and support.
Okay, so Bing, what else is going on with the entrepreneur program over there? It sounds like some great things are happening, and we encourage our listeners to, you know, if you're thinking about starting a business or you have a business and you're just right there on that treadmill and you can't get into second gear, you know, call over to Urban League and let them hook you up with one of their excellent coaches and get some help. You know, it's one thing to talk about doing things. It's another thing to seek help, and we all need help sometimes, Bing.
That's right. That's right. And we're here to help anyone who is interested in starting a business.
All right. Okay. So all right. Well, we thank you so much, Bing, for being on here every Saturday morning with the Entrepreneurship Corner and offering the information that you do.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, this is Praise 107.9 FM, the Empowering Hour. Thank you, Dr. Danford. I hope you enjoy your trip whenever you decide that you're going to take that expose down to California. I wish I could ride over cross country, which is, sounds like fun. Jarman, enjoy your weekend. Have some fun with the kids and the husband. Listeners, have a great and wonderful weekend. This is Praise 107.9. Larry Williams. Peace.